5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Big meeting held yesterday regarding ballot measure 110 and a push to make some changes to it. State Representative Christine Goodwin, part of the committee that was holding the meeting, she joins us this afternoon. Thanks for being on.
You're welcome. Good afternoon, everyone.
So let's talk about the meeting. Kind of set the scene for us. Where was this held and who all was involved?
Well, I was appointed to the Joint Interim Committee on Addiction and Community Safety Response a couple months ago. This has been our third joint meeting, which we do in person in the hearing rooms in Salem. The co-chairs are Senator Lieber and Representative Cross, and there are three on the Republican side and four on the Democrat side. So what we've been grappling with, of course, is Measure 110 and really the outcome of decriminalizing drugs in our state. And basically, we reduced all obstacles to seeking treatment for drug addiction. And Oregonians, the polling is very clear that people are really fed up with the result, the harm not only done to the individuals and their families, but to our communities at large. And communities large and small throughout the state are really grappling with drug addiction, which is very related to mental illness. And of course, the spillout from that is homelessness. So these issues are foremost in Oregonians' minds. And we are we're debating best policy moving forward.
What types of folks were testifying and making comments at the meeting yesterday?
So yesterday we had some Oregon Health Science folks testifying to the science, addiction science, if you will. I thought the testimony overall was just pretty weak there. We are still, and in previous meetings, we have been hearing from law enforcement, of course, criminal justice system, DAs, all of those folks that have really been impacted in their local communities by just losing all of their tools to actually intervene with drug addiction and move people into treatment. We have heard from a lot of the folks that are currently involved in what I would say kind of the status quo entities, mostly involved with harm reduction. So the people that really want to just keep 110 as it is. They are people who are strongly arguing against any kind of recriminalization. So they are, many could argue that they are benefiting in terms of funding to their entities, but really show very weak results in terms of helping people move toward recovery. So what we had when now we have the big conversation is because we now give e-violations, which have no teeth whatsoever. So there's a minor fine, which are never paid. People have to really voluntarily move into a treatment. It's pitifully few. I think 1.5% of people really opt toward treatment programs. And then we really didn't, we're doing, it depends on the county and the state. You know, we have 36 counties and they're all very unique and they're all different in where their problems, where the gaps are in this whole system of moving people from drug addiction, you know, into recovery. Douglas County is actually doing very well in a lot of areas, and they actually, before they would, our commissioners and our DA would very much like to reinstate a misdemeanor charge, and a lot of law enforcement is arguing for that, because with that misdemeanor, we now have some leverage to compel people We don't want people to go to jail. And that's what the voters said. That's why they thought they were really pushing people from a disease, addiction disease, into treatment. But that's not what's happening. So we know that these people often need to be compelled, and their records will be expunged if they pursue treatment. So that's largely the conversation, what to do about that. Again, there's those people that are saying, no, they don't want any criminalization at all. And yet we have serious hard drugs on the streets, fentanyl and heroin and meth and opioids, of course. And so the harm reduction people, just even though our overdoses have tripled, but they still continue to argue that to force people into any kinds of treatment is just not effective. They don't give any solutions, however. So when I ask, what would you suggest? What do we do? Because we're not going to continue to do the same failing process that we have been doing. And I really just get no answers at all.
What kinds of solutions then, or ideas, did they offer about any changes that should be made?
Well, what we are arguing for, of course, I've called for full repeal, and because, first of all, we have spent close to $300 million on this problem. In the 21-23 session, we appropriated $1.3 billion for behavioral health services, and in that was this money for Measure 110. There's been an oversight committee and the OHA, and it has just been really disorganized. The monies are still not really, we're still doing a gap analysis to find out where these monies really have gone and how have they been. They obviously not been effective in any way in getting people toward treatment. So we do not need Measure 110 to redirect funding from the state to get it where it needs to be. I would like to see it more locally controlled so our individual counties can assess what they need and where the money needs to be placed, starting with crisis units, which we do very really well in Douglas County on mobile crisis intervention. So we need to get those people sober, right, clear-headed for at least 72 hours, then stabilize them for a 30-day period, and then moving out from there into longer stays with treatment. So it really is a timely process to help people toward recovery. And I would say we have not built out the capacity very well along that whole continuum. So I would like to see monies directed where they are most needed in, and let that be directed by the county and not just a one-size-fits-all by the state.
Now, it sounds like this was a fairly lengthy meeting or hearing.
Yeah, they are. They've been 4 to 5 hours. So yesterday we wrapped up. We went from 9 to 1. We then had a half-hour quick break, and then we went into a two-hour after meeting, which, again, were stakeholders, a lot of those organizations, DAs, cities. You know, cities testified, another key group, in what has been happening to their communities and just what great harm has been to public spaces, which really, frankly, are no longer public spaces, have just become unsafe to the public to use. I know in our small communities, even, you know, when you have a community of less than a couple thousand people, 3,000 people, and they have one park, and that park is being overrun with people who have, again, it's a combination of mental illness and drug addiction, which then leads to the homelessness. And our law enforcement has just lost all tools, really, to intervene, especially with just a violation. So we are arguing, the Republicans, that we need to repeal this. We need to redirect the funding. We need to look at where are the gaps and really build out this system in a smart way. It was not. I mean, it just launched. 110 launched, just threw out all the obstacles for people to acquire drugs. I mean, they are so readily available on the street, plentiful, cheap. We just have a whole culture of people just you know, living on the streets in filth and squalor, and it is not humane. I mean, it's just a horrible tragedy, and we just seem to be powerless to this point to make any changes there. And so I don't accept that. My colleagues don't accept that. We'd like to reinstitute those tools, at least with a misdemeanor. So what we'd like to see, this is not just a law enforcement issue. We don't just want people to go to jail or to the ERs, right? That's also happening, which is backing up our hospital system. We want to have so we have law enforcement that can intervene and then do the handoff to partners, our community mental health partners, and let them take it from there in terms of managing as a disease and as a health issue, certainly a mental health issue. So these are not people, we're not calling for them just to be thrown back into jail.
All right, we're going to take Hold it there. We'll be right back with more. State Representative Christine Goodwin. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson at 1. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio. We're working on a follow-up with another lawmaker, hopefully, for tomorrow's Inside Douglas County regarding this meeting Monday and the issue of fentanyl and Measure 110 and related topics. State Representative Christine Goodwin, part of this interim committee, on with us now. I'm curious, did you reach any real consensus among the committee about what to do next and how to approach this issue in the upcoming short session?
We did not. What we have agreed to is break out into some smaller groups now. So there will be those group, smaller group really grappling with the misdemeanor issue, even though, there is huge resistance to recriminalizing in any way. But the Democrats really, they have their backs against the wall here. They know this is incredibly unpopular. They can see that just suggesting to an addict that they seek treatment has not been effective. They can see this has been worse for the state. And, you know, when Portland is just screaming for some action, they know they have to take action. I'm going to be working more specifically, because I have been in behavioral health and healthcare, about the gaps in our system, so that, you know, what we want is a more seamless system and that we can help people. I know that there's medically assisted therapies. A lot of these individuals are so deep in addiction, they do need some medical assistance to come off of those. So I'm looking at all of that whole continuum of care and where those monies can be best spent. Right now, we are spending millions on needles and Narcan. So that is all they're doing, and there's still loud voices saying we need to just keep them safe in their addiction, just keep them comfortable. And for them, that is compassion. I do not agree with that at all. I think that we have got to compel people into treatment. It's obvious they're not choosing it for themselves. So I think that's the next step. We will meet again, and we will go back into legislative days. Our next meeting will be early January. We're trying to come up with a legislative fix. Otherwise, this is going to go to an IP, an initiative petition. It'll go back to the voters, a very expensive process. I would like to see, many of us would like to see this resolved and do something in the legislative session, which will be, I will be back in Salem full time, February 5th through March 10th.
Was anyone from the governor's office involved with this meeting, or any input from the office?
No, that's a good question. And I have found that the governor's silence on this is concerning. I think this is the big issue. This will be the most controversial issue for the next session. this is what, you know, I just did a class. I actually taught a civics class at Crater High School to ninth graders. And do you know that ninth graders, I set up a little committee for them. I had them do a caucus, bring forward a problem. You know, what we do, we bring forward the problem and the solution. And, you know, these kids, all they wanted to talk about was drug addiction and homelessness and mental health. So, I mean, their questions were excellent. They are, I mean, if you're concerned, if they are so heightened in their awareness at ninth grade, you can imagine overall what the public feels about how we're handling this drug crisis in our state.
Were there any of the Democrats in the meeting open to making changes?
You know, I can talk to them privately, and they, you know, they know they're not committing to any changes. I think what I'm seeing them want to do, and the ACLU, there was a representative from ACLU, and she pretty much said, we just would like to keep this out so it's not so visible to the public. I think that is appalling. So now we're going to try to just find some way that we hide this addiction from the public, hide the mess that this has created. And, you know, they're flirting with that idea. They like to just get it out of sight a little bit so it's not so obvious and they don't get so many direct complaints. That's so far the only thing I've heard them signal that they might be willing to do. They are really trying, if they even go for a misdemeanor versus this violation, they will try to make that as light as possible. They just absolutely do not want any stick, any leverage, any compulsion for people to seek treatment.
Any input in the area of, aside from the addicted and those being harmed by the use of drugs, about the impact on Oregon's business community because of this situation?
Oh, yes, that's what we heard largely from the cities, of course, how their business community is so impacted in quite graphic terms about where the garbage, the feces, the needles, just overrunning their cities. And you can imagine our little communities without any resources to handle this. They are very frustrated. So it is, yes, cities, AOC, of course, the counties and the cities have representation there. And there were the one gentleman that they cut him off very quickly because he's doing a very tough love. He's a former addict. And usually the people that testify that are former addicted are the ones that have a stronger view of compelling people to treatment. And they have amazing stories. But they didn't like to hear him because what he was saying is they need to be accountable as well. We need to help them. We need to reach in and help them out of this deep well of addiction and despair. But they need to participate in that. And, oh, they didn't. They ran out of time to hear the rest of his testimony. So we'll keep, I mean, remember that the chairs can pretty much determine who will be giving the information to us. And so it is naturally going to be biased from their point of view. They do not really like both sides of the story told very well.
If anything does not happen during the short session, do you see any potential renewed push for a special session to look at this?
I think the more likely scenario will be another ballot measure. And with 65 to 80%, depending on the question that is asked, but the vast majority of Oregonians have said, no, we need to repeal this. We need a fresh start here. We need to rebuild this out. We need to do this in a way that really helps the addicted person and the mentally ill person. And we have these very complex, right? And what's also happening, I'm on a task force for delayed discharge. We have people that can't be discharged from hospitals because they have nowhere to place them. They're so complicated. And typical skilled nursing facilities don't have the capacity to take care of them. So they're just languishing sometimes for months in hospitals, holding beds that need to be for acute patients. So this has a ripple effect throughout our state in all kinds of ways. And, of course, we can't, you know, all this conversation about housing, you can't just start giving housing to people when they're in a deep drug addicted state? I mean, that obviously common sense tells us that's going to be a disaster. So we do need to move them along. We all want to help these people. We want to get them to recovery because there's no good outcomes. There's no other choice for them to be where they are, stuck. They can't work. They're losing families. They're just, and they reach a point where of just no return, where they're just so deep in their addiction to try to pull them away from that is difficult. We need to intervene. I'm also very adamant about youth intervention. The earlier we intervene with substance abuse disorder, the more likely we are to help that individual.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Christine Goodwin, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Bye-bye.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.